Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming out on this Friday evening. A warm one, a cold one, a dry one, a wet one, whatever it may be, wherever you are. Thank you for joining me this evening. My name is Mudtoe. This is my little corner of the internet. And we're sitting in amongst some theoretical vegetation here. Things and ideas. Actually, I'm talking about them. You're listening. But you could, I mean, if you wanted to, theoretically, once again, share your thoughts. There is an email address, which I almost never check, but it is mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. There is also a Facebook page, Mudtoe Sasquatch, which actually, it's the Midnight Garden with Mudtoe Sasquatch, so it's even easier to remember. You could just look up Midnight Garden and probably find it, unless there are other people out there doing gardening at midnight, which I suppose is possible. I've never really tried to look up the page. But there are ways to get a hold of me. When I do the show on my cell phone, as I'm doing it now, I can't interact with you in real time, unfortunely. So you're pretty much stuck with this format. I talk for 30 minutes, and hopefully there's something in there for you, or if not for you, for someone. That's the point. That's for me to speak as Spirit directs me to do, and with the expectation, with the belief that somebody out there needs to hear it. So here I am, and there you are. And let us speak. When last we spoke, I was trying to put my spine back together again. Actually, it's not my spine. It's not my back. I see it's a back problem every time I talk about it. It's not my back. It's the muscles at the base of my spine that are the problem. I injured those muscles back in 2005, and then sometimes they're calm for a while, and other times they want to get all jittery. They go into spasm when they think something bad is going to happen to my spine, Spasm is kind of painful and makes it kind of difficult to do things like walk and concentrate. So last week, as I was relating to you, I ended up on the floor of my apartment, unable to move myself. So I was rescued by my daughter, who set me up well, and spent the better part of a week convalescing, and then this past week, I was back at work, which was interesting. I find myself sort of more in touch with my body than is normal, and I think that's a good thing. I like that. I just wish it wouldn't have to have been the circumstances that it's caused it. I wish it would have just realized, hey, I should be more in touch with my body. But what I need to do is be cognizant of my body positioning. And this kind of reminds me of a yoga thing, and I know absolutely nothing about yoga, but I believe yoga is about this, about the position of the body and the flow of the energy and so forth. Tai Chi is about, I have done a little bit of Tai Chi in my time, but I can control it. When I'm there, because there's a lot of bending down and picking things up off the floor the customers have left behind, they pick it up, they try it on, and if they don't like it, they just drop it on the frickin' floor, and you pick it up and put it away. But, that involves, of course, bending, stooping to get the thing. So just like they always said all through antiquity, it's not like this is new information. It's you don't bend at your back, you bend at your knees. And have some support nearby. I find something that I can put my hand on, so I'm not just bending down, putting all the pressure on my back. And when I'm looking now for signs of sensation that my back is about to go all fluttery on me, and then I back off. And I know how to back off. There's some ways I back off where I just make it worse. So it's been, you know, sort of all week has been sort of this extended study of, you know, what I do with my body to stop my, or to prevent my back from going into spasm. And when I go and see my physician on Tuesday, I just go to see what condition my physician is in. When I go to see him, next Tuesday is when I see him. I take all this information. I'd like to take it down. I haven't done it yet. I'd like to at least make a few notes and just, you know, review with him what I've discovered and see if he wants to add anything. Also, I'm supposed to be seeing a physical therapist, and that got kind of snafu'd because the phone number that my doctor gave me wasn't the right one, and evidently my referral never went through. So I neglected to conclude that business this morning because I was tied up with JFS. So it's going to have to be Monday, and then I want to get that in line. So again, so I can report out to my doc on Tuesday and perhaps close out this sad chapter, at least the really worst part of it. And the other is that there's stuff where it's not just at work either. There's stuff around the home that I've had to find because there's, you know, I don't lift well when I'm moving stuff around. I have a big chunk of electronic equipment that I want to move, but I'm not quite sure how to approach it. I've actually decided to let it sit there on the floor until I've had a couple of physical therapy sessions, and I can actually ask them what is the best thing I should do with this piece of stuff. Collect that data. There are all kinds of places that can collect data. I thought about YouTube, but I was a little bit, you know, leery of that. Although I find YouTube to be very interesting for many, or very useful for many things. Once, I think I've told this story on the air before. When I was still at work at the university, there was a piece of equipment. And it's one of the elements of my job was to keep track of all the equipment that our students used. They were math and science student teachers. And they had all sorts of electronic doodads that they would use. They would take with them into their student teaching. And I was in charge of keeping track of all that stuff, who had what, and doing trainings and whatnot. And there was one piece of equipment a particular student wanted to use, but we didn't have the instructions. And none of the professors had ever used it before, so we didn't know. And there's some hand-wringing going on. You know, what shall we do? What shall we do? Well, while they were doing that, I got on YouTube and I found a video of a helpful science teacher who had just that very piece of equipment and showed us exactly how to set it up and use it. So you can get some good information. I think sort of the empirical kind of information like that was just to show me how kind of things, because you have to depend on the person. The person actually does know what they're doing, but there are ways to, you know, sort of check you're getting reasonable answers. It was some sort of gauge that you stuck the probe in water and you had your solution in there and it told you something about it. I can't remember if it was pH. It seemed like pH would be kind of simple. Measurement that. We tried it out, and it seemed the number we got seemed reasonable. Now, the way you would do it, you know, in a perfect world would be to get a couple of other model, you know, pieces of the same, a couple of the probes of the same model and test against it. Of course, if we had that, we probably wouldn't have had to do the whole YouTube thing. That's sort of a flashback for me, too, because it was the sort of thing I used to do back in my glory days when I was a real person doing real stuff. But anyway, I mean, stuff of, you know, fixing or setting up a piece of equipment is one thing. Taking care of your body is something else. So I don't know that I would jump to YouTube to make that kind of thing happen. What was that? Oh, okay. Never mind. My my other cell phone, my old cell phone, which I keep on the charger because occasionally I still get calls on it from people who don't know I have a new phone number. Well, it automatically tells me, there's a little tone that goes off when it's fully charged, and I just did it. I probably heard it about 10,000 times, and it still surprised me there just a second ago. Those things that happen when your attention is diverted. For example, my attention there was just diverted by the music that's playing on my laptop. I just have the Beatles on shuffle, and just noticed it's playing a song that it just played like 10 minutes ago. My laptop, it was just redone because it had gotten a bad virus, and had to restore it to its pristine state. You know, you get rid of everything that didn't come with the computer and all that, and of course it updated everything once that was done. And so I've got this. I don't think it's 11. It's an updated version of 10. Yes, sorry. I know those of you, that some people have complained when I get into this technical stuff. I promise I'm not going to get stuck on it. My point is that this new version is terrible. I don't like it. And there are lots of things that, lots of the utilities that I got used to using that work differently now, and they don't work as well. I mean, they work differently in the sense that the commands are in different places, the things gotta click are different. But then you'll be on that, the functionality of the application is not as good. It's slower or not as efficient in some way. I'm sort of afraid just because I downloaded a word processor and spreadsheet, and I haven't tried to use them yet. I'm sort of afraid to. I don't know what sort of problems I'm going to run into trying to make that work. I don't have a lot of call to actually do it. I can go to the library and use their spreadsheet and word processor if I need to. Actually easier that way, because usually if I'm doing something, if I'm called upon to do something like that, it means I've got to print it out and give it to somebody, which means I'm going to have to, you know, put it on a thumb drive and put it on the library's computer anyway, so you might as well just do it. Just do it on their computer, and then they really, you know, my laptop becomes a jukebox, which is what it is tonight. It's playing the Beatles songs, but not very well. It plays the same one twice in 10 minutes. I just want to—I repeat this line often, that I just wish one time in my lifetime that I will have a piece of technology, that I will own a piece of technology that works the way that it's supposed to, because I really never have. And you just—it's an interesting experience. You get to do some problem solving. You get to work things out, but you know, just to. Someday I hope to know the joy of taking something out of the box and plugging it in, and it works. And maybe that's too much to expect in this world where, you know, everything changes every 5 minutes, it seems. But anyway, let me go back, because I had mentioned that I was tied up with the JFS this morning. JFS is, for those of you who have different abbreviations in your state or nation, is Job and Family Services. I'm back in their clutches, trying to get my food stamps restored. I'd stepped away from the food stamps about a year ago because I got a job. It was a temporary job grading standardized tests. But it was a 40-hour-a-week job. I was going to be making too much money to have food stamps, even though it was only going to be for 3 months. You have to get a jump off the food stamps and then make a reapplication when you're eligible again. They have like a 3-month look back. In other words, they look. You have to show them what your income was. So it takes a little bit of time, sometimes the whole 3 months, to get to the point where you actually qualify again. And then by the time that happened, I had gotten another temporary job with FedEx before Christmas. So that kicked me off again. And I just, you know, I wanted, when that was over with, you know, I just wanted to, you know, as I said, I would have been, probably would have been eligible to try again in, say, March or maybe April. But I wanted to make it on my own. You know, I wanted to be a good citizen and not necessarily take money that I didn't need. And I've kind of discovered that I need that money. This is where we're at. Or maybe, what I found was, you know, I was in, of course, when I started off, I don't know about, of course, I've told this story before, maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. When I started off my retail job, I was training as a training for management. And I didn't make that, so I am an ordinary soldier, and I don't make as much. Plus, I got my hours cut. And at the low point, I mean, it just kept, like, it seemed like each week the hours would get lower and lower and lower. And the last 2 weeks, I was scheduled for 8 hours each of the 2 weeks. Now, I ended up picking up another shift from someone else, so I didn't. I was more like 12 or 13, and really I need to be more around 15. 15 to 20 is the good range. If I get over 20, then I'm starting to flirt with that donut hole again, where you get to where you have too much money to get the benefits, but, you know, not enough money to replace them. And that applies to my, you know, my Medicaid as well as my, I mean, it's a reality. You know, I've been out of work for 6 years dealing with accepting and using government subsidies is a fact of life that I don't particularly like. I mean, I've always said that, you know, I did work for years and pay into the system, and now I'm, you know, I didn't feel any shame about taking something back from the system, and that was before I was out of work for 6 years. Now, yeah, I do kind of feel shame about having that food stamp card and having that Medicaid and having, you know, what's really pretty good insurance that's better than, I mean, that's the bad, is having that Medicaid, which is really better than the insurance that most people pay an arm and a leg for. But, you know, that's the option I have. It's either that or I don't know, try and fix my back with tape and saran wrap. I don't know exactly how that would work. So, here I am with my card and I talked to somebody for an hour and a half this morning about getting food stamps restored. And maybe it's a matter of answering questions. Do you have, you know, do I have stocks and bonds? No, you know, I'm afraid I don't. other things that, you know, I might, it gets to where it seems like they're trying to trick you into revealing your riches, and I didn't have any riches to reveal, so they can trick me all they want. But just, so they're going to send me a letter, and the letter's going to have a list of things that I got to collect. I'm sure paycheck stuff will be among them, and there'll be some other things, and they're going to collect them up and take them to my local JFS office, and should be okay. So that's good. I mean, smoother than some of my interactions with the government have been in the past. I have these thoughts of the day, you know, the day when I finally enter into a 40-hour-a-week job that sticks, you know, where I can walk away from the food stamps forever, and I can walk away from the Medicaid forever. And at the age I'm getting to be, it'll be just in time for me to sign up for Medicare, which has its own set of problems. You know, it's from talking to mom and dad. It feels so distant. It feels like, you know, I feel that that's, you know, that's, you know, an experience that's beyond my reach. And I feel that, you know, the time when I did have that kind of, when last I held a true 40-hour week job was 2006. So it's been 12 years since I held down 40 hours a week, you know, for a period of time. I've had a couple of jobs since then that were 40 hours a week, but they didn't stick. I only had them for a few months before either I left or I was asked to leave. Sometimes I look at it, I say, I'm doing this retail job for 20, 25 hours a week. I didn't finish that part of the story. I was down to, you know, eight hours a week and very concerned about having enough money for necessities, which is what started the thing about in my mind about getting the food stamp stack. Now, since then, we had a couple of people quit, and so we're shorthanded, and I'm back into more hours, so it's not a problem. But as I say, it could easily, that situation could easily reverse, and I'd be back because it's just whatever, you know, the manager decides to give me. And again, one reason why, you know, I feel there still has to be, I have to presume that there's a 40-hour-a-week job out there for me, and I have to find it and get it. Because otherwise, I am at the mercy of others, you know, private and government. And the only way to, at least, you know, you're always at the mercy of others, but it's the only way to make that at least, that risk at least manageable is to have that job where you're able to pay for your benefits, or at least, you know, from which you receive benefits. And you at least have a shot of making it to the finish line. My 67 years old finish line. So that's when the Social Security check will come, presuming that Social Security is still around then, which is something my generation and I have been saying for at least 20 years, probably closer to 30, since Social Security has started to have its problems. And it's a little bit irritating that our politicians seem to be becoming less scared of making cuts to Social Security. They used to be, you know, something, you know, offending the retired voters who vote fairly religiously, was something that a politician would never dare do. They might talk about it, but they'd never do it. But now we have people in Washington talking seriously about taking Social Security in a negative direction. Even when, as I say, my generation started to joke nervously about Social Security not being there when we got there. And now the conditions for bringing it about are actually fermentation? No, it's not fermentation. You have stuff going on in there. You have the eye of newt and toe of frog, and it's bubbling, toiling and troubling, and there may be a poof in that wonderful Social Security card we've guarded with our lives since we got them when we were young. May not be worth the paper they're printed on. But, you know, you can't think about things like that. I mean, when it's ballot box time, you got to think about them. But day to day, I think it's better to concentrate on what's in front of you. You can do what's in front of you, and that's all you can do. Ooh, there was a picture of Jaws. JR is listening. JR, my my cousin and a big Jaws fan, a picture of Jaws just went by on my screensaver. My very clunky screensaver. That's another thing. I mean, it's like the screensaver doesn't work near as well. And see, I need these things now because they're the only things I really use the computer for. The music shuffler and the screensaver. And neither one of them works very well. But oh well. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when Hulkamania runs something over you? What was it? My God, I can't believe that. I heard that like 6 times a day, every day, because my brother was a big wrestling fan. And I just heard that. Always watching the Hulkamania and the Hulk, and then he had a catchphrase. What are you going to do when Hulkamania does something? I don't remember. Now, I don't believe my brother actually had Hulk merch. As far as I can remember, he did not have the Hulk, the obligatory Hulk T-shirt with the slits down the back so he could rip it off. This is a big thing with him carrying his T-shirt off, but it had these slits down the back, so it's quite a bit easier than it normally would be for him to trip that thing off. And amazing, because like every one of his matches was exactly, they were all choreographed, but each one was exactly the same, or at least they ended exactly the same. Where he'd have the guy would hit him, and it looked like the bad guy was winning, and then Hulk would suddenly shake it off, and the bad guy would hit him, and he'd stand up, and the bad guy would hit him, and Hulk would grab him and throw him into the ropes, and he'd jump up and drop his leg down on the guy's chest, which for some reason completely paralyzed him, and then he covered him, and he was the winner. Amazing, most amazing. He beat Andre the Giant that way. I don't think pro wrestling was on the one of those things you don't anticipate. We're almost out of time. I was going to do Shaman Tarot tonight. I didn't remember that until like 2 minutes before the show started, and I dug my stuff out. I really didn't have the time or the space because I can't sit at my desk because my back gets screwed up if I sit in the holding chair because I don't have the right lumbar support. Like in the car, I can put like a towel behind my back and a rolled up towel, and it'll work. It'll support it. But this folding chair doesn't have a back, so there's not much I can do. I can't really sit at it for more than a couple of minutes. So I'm doing my desk business. A lot of my desk business standing up, and I would have had to reacquaint myself with the whole Shaman Tarot thing because I haven't done it for a while. So since I didn't get to it tonight, I will need to promise you folks that I will do one next week. I will put in the time to prepare one, and we'll talk about it. And I have to think of a good one. Well, I just got my 90-second warning. I want to thank you for listening to the show. It's because of you guys that somebody knows I'm here. So thanks once again. And Shaman Tarot next week, promises, promises, promises. And thank you much, and have a pleasant good evening.